You know, in the last few weeks, as the church has been going through this process of looking at name changes, we've looked in Scripture at name changes, and how God changes names. From Genesis to Revelation, we saw Abram became Abraham. We saw Sarai became Sarah. We saw that Jacob became Israel. And we see that in Revelation, God changes the names of those who overcome. You know, but I've never found it written anywhere in the Scriptures that the people whose names were changed resisted those changes. Nobody, it's not written at least that they resisted. We don't hear that Abram said, "No, sorry, I don't like that, I'm going to stay Abram." We don't hear where Sarai said, "No, I don't want to be called Sarah." We don't hear where Saul resisted being called Paul. In fact, we see that he willingly submitted himself to that. We don't see where Jacob resisted being called Israel and all the others whose names were changed by God. But, you know, I've also not found in Scripture where anywhere that where God said, "Let's change the given name of His Messiah." I haven't found it. And so we have to look somewhere to find that information. How did that happen? How did it come about? Because we know that the angel of the Lord gave the name of the Messiah, the child, the baby, the unborn baby. He gave the name to Joseph. Joseph, we call him. So today we're going to ask, and I believe answer, the question, what's in a name? And we're going to look at our Savior's given name to get the answer. So, if you will, bow your heads with me and pray. Father, I surrender to You for Your service. I ask that You would use my mouth. Use my mouth, Lord, in Your holy power. Give me unction to speak clearly, Father. Open the eyes of our understanding with Your word of life. Use Your word of illuminating light, Your word of truth. Help us to hear with clarity what Your Spirit speaks to this church and all who will hear this message, Lord, whether it be through the CD ministry or online. Father, we ask that You would open our minds and clear them from every distraction. We all have so many things in our lives, Lord, that can distract us from paying attention. We ask that You would break those distractions from us, even just for the moments, Lord, the minutes that we use for this message. We ask that You would be glorified in all ways, and we pray in Christ's name. All of God's people said, Amen. Please open your Bibles to the first chapter of Matthew. You'll find that on page 649 in the Pew Bible, if you're using that. It's page 649. We're going to begin with verse 18. This is Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. And here we find the account of Jesus being named. We learn that this is the book of the genealogy of God's Messiah. How did He come into being? How did He come into the world? And the genealogy is given to us in English, in the English language, which was translated from either the Greek or, in Matthew's case, the Hebrew, Aramaic. And He gives us this long list of genealogy. And when we get to verse 18, we learn of the birth, how it came about. And it's significant because this is when He received His name. So if you will, let's trust the Lord as we go to His Word, beginning in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. This is what is written there. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, Jesus there is transliterated from the Hebrew or Aramaic, which is Yeshua. And they put it into first into Greek and then into English, and so it lost a little bit in the translation. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, which of course is the translation. It was Yeshua. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask that you would bless the reading and hearing of your word. Help us, Lord, to see the truth as we look into your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This one that we call Jesus is the one that was foretold in Isaiah. Emmanuel. The one that the people would say, God is with us. God is with us. With us is God. That's the translation. That's what Emmanuel means. And so the people, in looking upon this one who came into the world, born of a virgin, they would say, God is with us. This is how they would refer to him. Emmanuel is not his name. It's what people would say about him or to him. God is with us. With us is God. In the passage in Matthew, we hear the writer comment, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This was foretold. We learn from Isaiah that he knew in advance that this was going to happen. And it was fulfilled. It's a fulfillment of a messianic prophecy. Excuse me. In Matthew, the word Emmanuel is rendered from the same Hebrew word that's found in Isaiah. Identical. The Brown Driver Briggs Dictionary tells us Emmanuel is a symbolic and prophetic name of the Messiah, the Christ, prophesying he'd be born of a virgin and would be God with us. This is well established. It's still a hotly debated issue, though, because some are so attached to the transliterated name that they refuse to look at the Hebrew name. But the truth is, his name was Hebrew. His parents were Hebrew. He was Hebrew. His name was Hebrew. He wasn't Greek. He didn't speak Greek. He spoke Aramaic, which was the dialect of Hebrew at that time. We see that this is a reference to God visiting humankind. In Matthew's gospel record in verse 21, we read that they called the child Jesus, when you read the Greek. It's translated from the Hebrew name Jehoshua, Yehoshua. And the shortened version to that is Yeshua. In the Strong's dictionary, we learn that Yehoshua is one of the words, that's the name. It means Jehovah saves. And it comes from the Hebrew word number 3068 and 3467. 3068 is Yehovah, which is Jehovah. It means the self-existent or eternal. It's the Jewish national name of God, Jehovah the Lord. And so meaning is important because the words mean something. And whenever people would express a name of a child, they were naming that child what it meant. And that's the importance here. The other word is yasha. It's a primitive root, properly to be open or to be wide and free, be liberated. By implication, to be safe. Causatively, to be free or be relieved. Now remember, we learn that He will relieve us. He will free us. He will set His people free from sin. That's who He is. That's what He does. And His name means that. So we see, when we look into the history of the Word, the name, we see He's the Avenger. He's the Defender. He's the Deliverer. He helps, He preserves, He rescues, He helps people to become safe. He brings and has salvation. He brings victory. This is the one that we call Jesus. He brings victory. We have victory in Jesus and we sing it. Victory in Jesus, victory in Jesus. Oh, the sweet victory that we have in Jesus. There's something about that name. We see the significance of calling the Savior by His given name, which would lead to people to say, with us is God. What's in a name? Well, His name was worth dying for. And the Scripture tells us that. In Acts chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, we learn that Barnabas and Paul were men who had risked their lives for the name of our Lord. And it says His name, Yeshua, the Messiah. Paul said he was ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord, Yeshua. And think about the countless martyrs, the people who have given their lives for the name of our Savior. They've given their lives. This is a name that's worthy to die for. There's something about that name. It's more than just a name. It's more than just a human name. Do you know the letter J in the English language only came into a being about 400 years ago or so? There was no J in our language. There's no J. So there was no Jesus. And if you look to the original King James Version of the Bible, King James Version from 1611, you see it is not written the way that we see it in our modern Bibles. It's written as a transliteration of the Greek, Iesus. So what happened? Yahushua, shortened to Yeshua, is His given name. And I haven't found any place in Scripture that instructs us or commands us to change His name. People did this, not God. What happened? How did that happen? What was the language changes? If you look at the name John, for example, it has many different variations in different languages. And the German language in my German heritage would say Johann. And my Italian heritage would say Giovanni. Doesn't sound the same, does it? Johann, you can kind of hear it. But Giovanni, or Gianni, you don't hear that. It doesn't sound like John. You got to really stretch your imagination to hear John in Gianni, or Giovanni. But that's how it works. When we take a name from one language and we translate it into another, and with the name of Yeshua, it was changed from Yeshua to Greek and then to English. Well, in the middle, there was some Latin, too, that was applied. And so it changes with all these different language changes. Any true meaning of why and how His name changed from Yeshua to Jesus and all of that is obscured in layers of history. It's obscured in many types of teachings. I'm not so sure it matters one way or the other. Some say it does. Some say it's critically important that we call Him by His given name. Scripture explains the power in His given name. You look in John's third chapter. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. It's part of the meaning of His name. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that word name there means literally or figuratively the authority, the character. The authority in his name is that from God himself. Jesus himself said, I have received all authority in heaven and on earth. And whenever his name was invoked, the demons would run because the demons tremble. They believe. Oh, they believe. And they tremble. After preaching, it was Peter that was preaching, and after he preached, those who heard him said, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. They were convicted. What shall we do? They knew that they were on the wrong side. And what did Peter say? He told them, after they said, what shall we do? He told them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What name? His name. The name that is above all other names. The name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When Peter healed the lame beggar, he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. And then he said, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The guy lay there? No, he got up. He got up because Peter used the authority that had been given to Jesus Christ. He used the authority and he invoked that power upon that man's life, and that man stood and he walked. He used the authority contained in the Messiah's given name to command that lame beggar to get up. And then when Peter was put on trial for healing that man, you know, he got in trouble for doing it. And when he was put on trial, he told the religious leaders, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yeshua the Messiah, again, looking at the original language, not at the English, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. It was by his name. The authority that is invoked in the name, the given name. There's no salvation in any other. It's written in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. After the religious leaders heard that this man was healed in the authority of the Messiah of God, they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Yeshua. Now, why would they do that? Why would they want to stop people from removing a burden on their society? Because this one that they had crucified, they wanted to eradicate from the face of the earth. They did not want this competition, because to them, that's how they viewed it. It was competition. They had a good business going in this business of religion that they were running. And this Hebrew Messiah that they didn't believe in was taking business away from them. That's not the whole of it, but that's a big part of it. They were making money at the temple. Remember, Jesus went in, turned over the tables of the money changers, chased them all out of the temple. They were robbing people. And after they commanded them not to, the believers prayed for boldness to speak in the holy name of Yeshua, Jesus. They asked for boldness. They said, God Almighty, they're telling us not to. We need you to empower us to use His name. And I think all of us need to do that. I think we need to pray for God to give us boldness to speak in the name of our Savior. So then later, they went back out and they started preaching and teaching in His name. And then they were arrested again and they were beaten for speaking in the name of Yeshua. That's what's told to us in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. And then they again commanded them not to speak in this name. Didn't we command you not to do this? Didn't we command you not to use this name? And they said, oh, we need to obey God, not you. They defied the authorities because they wanted to be on the right side. They wanted to be doing the work of the Lord. The Scriptures tell us so many things about the name of the Messiah. Yeshua the Messiah, the one we call Jesus the Christ. When people believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Yeshua, both men and women were baptized. They were baptized. They came to know. They came to believe in the name. The people of Samaria were baptized in the name. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. Remember, last week, I think it was, we looked at Saul, how he became Paul. And believers, he was out there to kill believers. He was a murderer. He wanted to kill them. He wanted to stop. He wanted to eradicate this whole belief system of this one that we call Jesus, Yeshua. But Barnabas took him to the disciples, to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and how he'd been converted and how he boldly preached at Damascus in the name of Yeshua. Now, we don't know these things. We don't know unless we put it all together, and I pray that God has given me the ability to do that today, that it was in His name that the church was built. He said, upon this rock, He's talking to Peter. He said, Peter, you're the pebble. I'm the rock. He said, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And when he's talking about the church, he's talking about the called out ones, the ones who were called out of the world to be different, transformed, renewed, saved from their sins. Not saved in them, saved from them, out of them. Saul understood the authority of the name. If the President of the United States tells somebody to do something, they do it. If the governor of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania tells somebody to do something, they do it. And they do it in the name of the one that sent them. This is where the authority is conveyed. It's conveyed through the name. The governor sent me. The president sent me. The mayor of the town sent me. The commissioners sent me. I'm operating in their authority, not in my own. Now, as an individual, as a preacher, as an under-shepherd of Christ, I operate in His authority, in His name. Saul spoke boldly in the name of Lord Yeshua. And he disputed against the Greek-speaking Jews. Now, here is a distinction that we need to understand, folks. They attempted to kill him because he disputed against them. Some Jews spoke Greek, but not all. Saul was a Greek-speaking Jew. He grew up in a family that had Roman citizenship. He was schooled in Greek-speaking schools. He learned how to speak Greek. He spoke and he wrote it. And he disputed with the Greek-speaking Jews, and they wanted to kill him because he's operating in the authority of this Hebrew Yeshua. Not all Jews spoke Greek. Our Lord was not a Greek-speaking Jew, nor were his parents. His name was not a Latinized Greek name. It was a Hebrew name. And it had power to perform what we see in his word, signs, miracles, wonders, all performed by this one that we call Jesus. Acts chapter 16 gives us the account of a certain slave girl was possessed with a spirit of divination, and Paul commanded the spirit to come out in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. And that spirit had to obey. It came out because it was under the authority of the name. Demons had to obey in the given name of Yeshua. And many throughout the ages have cast demons out in the name of Jesus. Well, the last 400 or so years anyway. Acts chapter 19 tells of 12 men who were baptized in the name of the Lord Yeshua. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The authority of the name. In Acts chapter 19, we hear of some itinerant Jewish exorcists. They were not believers. They took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Yeshua. And he used his name over those who had evil spirits. And they were saying, "We exorcise you by the Yeshua whom Paul preaches." And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Again, unbelievers. These were unbelievers who wanted to grab that power in the name, and they wanted to use it for their own benefit. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Yeshua, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? Who are you? Who are you to use that name?" They weren't under the authority of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. They weren't under his authority. And so what does it tells us? The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. The devil beat them up because they weren't in the authority. They were not under the authority of the one whose name they invoked. This became known to Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Yeshua was magnified. His name was magnified. In Acts chapter 22, we hear Paul retell how Ananias instructed him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He's referring to the one we call Jesus, not some other Lord. The authority is in the name. The authority is in the one we call Jesus. He is the Messiah of God. In Acts chapter 26, we hear Paul admit that he had previously done all kinds of really bad things. Many things contrary to the name of Yeshua of Nazareth. He admitted his sin. He confessed it. In the 10th chapter of Romans, we learn that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Yeshua and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We believe in this one that Almighty God sent. With the heart, he says, one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And that comes from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. For there's no distinction between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a quote from Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. Paul Paul wrote to the church of God at Corinth to tell them that they're sanctified in Messiah, Yeshua. They're called to be saints with all that in every place call upon His name, our Lord, both theirs and ours. He's not just our Lord. He's the Lord of all who call upon His name. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, we hear Paul pleading with the Corinthians, "Brethren, by the name of our Lord Yeshua, Messiah, that you speak all the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." He's saying, don't divide over these things. And there's so much division in the body of Christ today, we're fractured and we're weak overall. Because the body of Christ should be changing the world one soul at a time. The whole world should be transformed, should be changed, should be turned into the likeness of Christ. The one we call Jesus, the one the Scripture calls Yeshua, the Messiah, should be transformed. There's no reason for the world to be the way that it is today, except that the enemy has come in and divided the body of Christ, and divided and subdivided and subdivided and further divided. If we're all operating in the authority of His name, if we are all operating under the one that Almighty God sent here to be the Savior, to be the Messiah, we need to unite. We can be that force to be reckoned with in this world. We can transform the entire world. And there's no doubt in my mind about that because I see it written in Scripture. It says He won't come back till the whole world hears the message. And He tells His people to go out and spread the good news. When He was speaking of a sexually immoral man to the Corinthians, He said, "In the name of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, when you're gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Yeshua, deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Yeshua." He says, you got to separate yourself from that guy. You can't hang out with him. This guy was bedding down with his mother-in-law. And Paul says, no good. You can't have that in the body. You can't have that. In 2 Thessalonians, I'll be wrapping up soon, folks. We hear, "We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us." And then a little further along in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we hear, and this is the same Saul, renamed Paul, writing to the churches that he had helped to establish. He said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were, past tense, some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Yeshua and by the Spirit of our God. By our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah of God, we are washed. We're made clean. And we're not to interact. Sheep and pigs don't go in the same pen. And I'm not calling people pigs. I'm saying clean versus unclean. As far as the Scriptures are concerned, those are the designation the Scriptures give. We're called out. Give thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord, Yeshua. And I'll wrap this up. And I'm going to ask again, what's in a name? Power. Power. Authority comes in His name. We have that authority delegated to us by Him. The answer comes right from the pages of the Bible. God has also exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. And at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow, and of those in heaven, of those on earth, of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Yeshua the Messiah is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, when we read it in English, it says, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is above all names. His name is beyond all names. Every name answers to His. All authority, He said, was given to Him in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:18 tells us that. Almighty God's exalted Him to His right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 instructs us to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. For He received from God, this is in 2 Peter, now a different writer, He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And that was whenever He was baptized by John in the Jordan. Almighty God spoke from heaven, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Him. And Almighty God said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. He's the one. He's the chosen one. He's the one that Almighty God uses to draw us to Himself, to reconcile us to Himself, to break down those walls of separation, to erase the sin that we've committed, to free us, to liberate us. He is the Savior. Revelation chapter 5. John tells how he heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Yes, He is worthy. He's worthy of that power. He's worthy of that authority. When we operate in His authority, we are operating to the glory of God. Revelation 11:15 tells us He shall reign forever and ever. If His kingdom, there's no end. So what's in a name? Think about it. What's in a name? Kingdom authority. That's what's in His name. And we, as His followers, we can operate in His authority. From today on, if we haven't before now, we can know we have His authority in His name. It's in His name we pray. I trust that God will bless each and every one of you. Father, we ask that You would lead us and guide us to recognize that we have authority in the name of Your Messiah, the one we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah. You know, Father, that You gave Him glory. You gave Him honor. We know, Father, that You are glorified by Him. We know that He receives power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and blessing. And He is worthy. Guide us to live in His footsteps. Guide us to walk on His path. Ask for Your blessing on each one here. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's people said, amen. I'll tell you what. You know, maybe we ought to receive an offering, huh? Would that be all right with you guys? Okay. Kind of forgot to do that earlier. All right. Father, we ask that You would guide us in our giving, that it would be sufficient to meet the needs here and beyond, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank You for the tithes and the offerings that have been brought forth. Lord, we ask that You would bless both the gifts and the givers. Lord, help us all to realize that we can never outgive You. Your Word tells us to try You and see if we can. Lord, You've always proved in my life that that is not possible. And so I thank You, Father, for all the gifts that have been brought forth here. And God, we ask that You would keep us good stewards of everything that You've entrusted to us. We trust, Lord God, that Your Word would be seated in our hearts and we will live and operate as Your children. In Your authority. I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. I will close with I Surrender All, which is number 394 in your hymnals. We've been closing for a few weeks in this with this hymn, 394. I think we all need that reminder that we surrender to Him. John? Number 394. And Rose wants us to do all four verses.